What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Dr. Brendan O'Shea, GP, Assistant Adjunct Professor at Trinity College Dublin and Medical Director at KDOC is with us now. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning.
Are you getting a lot of referrals for chickenpox?
Not lots, but they do happen, and they do happen in communities and little mini surges. It's an ongoing part of the year, really. All of us in practice at the moment, we're seeing a very large number of viral illnesses of all kinds at the moment, particularly COVID, the odd case of measles, the odd case of pertussis, and lots of flu-like illnesses. And you certainly do see some chickenpox in all of that.
Tell us about chickenpox, though. It's related in some way to herpes simplex, isn't it?
The virology, they're cousins, but they're different viruses. So it's the varicella virus causes chickenpox, which the vast majority of people get. The vast majority of people experience it as a reasonably minor illness that's monstrously inconvenient, particularly for very busy households where one or both parents are working. Then for most people, that's the end of it. But then later in life, there's a significant recurrence. The varicella virus, it causes eruptions on the skin, but it does migrate along the nerve endings up to the nerve bodies and the spinal cord and stays there for years and does nothing very much. But occasionally then in older people or people who are immunosuppressed, the virus can become active, usually just on one nerve segment. So chickenpox is a generalized all over the body rash illness. But then shingles, which is this later complication, which happens in a proportion of people, involves just one nerve segment. And that is that's herpes zoster, which is a really sore, debilitating condition.
Yeah, no, and we were talking earlier about shingles in the week, and I was explaining how I had a beautiful combination of chickenpox and shingles when I was in my early teens, and that was not something I ever want to repeat. So, if you do get chickenpox at some point, are you at an increased risk of getting shingles? Is it guaranteed you're going to get them?
It's certainly not guaranteed, but you can't get shingles without having had chickenpox or chickenpox exposure. So it's the same virus that causes both. But once most of us will get chickenpox and a significant proportion of us will get shingles later on. And I don't have a figure off the top of my head, but it would be in the order, I would guess, of about 10 to 20% of the population might experience shingles in due course.
Now, there was an article I read that said that maybe the pandemic and the isolation and the cocooning resulted in children and the community not building up a resistance. And there was obviously a time when we weren't mingling and all of the bugs went away. And then they started coming back when we started interacting again. I mean, is that the reason why we're seeing an increase in the viruses that you're dealing with as well as chickenpox?
We can really only speculate about that, and not very helpfully. I mean, those of us who are in practice, I mean, we see these seasonal surges usually in the autumn and the spring. They're just part of practice, and it was lovely to see them gone during the pandemic, but they're absolutely back. At the end of the day, the chickenpox shingles chapter, if you like, is a relatively small, not hugely critically important chapter for the majority of the population, but it does result, both at the chickenpox end of it and the shingles end of it, it occasionally results in significant illness, and occasionally children do require to be admitted into the acute hospital system with serious illness, which is really strained, and any additional load on that is a concern. And for people who get shingles, occasionally post-herpetic neuralgia can be a really debilitating, persistent condition. So moving away from speculation about what did or didn't happen during the pandemic, this moves us on to whether or not we should be considering immunisation.
Because there is a vaccine against this, isn't there?
There is. There's Varivax is one of the brands, and parents occasionally come into us in practice. They ask us, and sometimes they bring in the vaccine, or they request a prescription for the vaccine. So a small number of parents are acting on this. But it is a question that's periodically under review, whether or not this should be included with the primary immunisation scheme. It's like all of the other primary immunisations, it's usually, if it's adopted, and it's adopted in some countries as a public health measure, I think in the US it's the case, but it's an immunisation usually around 12 or 13 or 14 months of age and repeat it 3 months later. And the immunisation is known to be safe. It's known to be effective. It's been used on a population level for around 15 or 20 years. And it is a very effective, safe vaccine.
Okay. So it gives rise to a question that's on the screen here, actually, which is a very relevant one from Laura. I've had my kids vaccinated against chickenpox. Does that reduce the chance of them getting shingles as adults?
The evidence would indicate that, yes, it will, significantly so. And this does crop up, and we are asked the question, should we get our child immunised or not? It's not part of the primary immunisation programme at the moment. For the vast majority of people who get chickenpox and for the vast majority of people who get shingles, it's not really a serious life-threatening illness. But there are small, significant system benefits in terms of the acute hospital system that will justify it.
I remember when my kids had chickenpox last year, one of the things we were doing was we were keeping the older grandparents away because we didn't want to give them shingles. But we were told, I think afterwards, that that's not how it works, that a child with chickenpox can't infect a grandparent, but a grandparent could actually theoretically infect a child. Is that right?
It's not theoretical. It can work out like that, that if somebody has an active shingles rash, and it's a similar type of rash, you get tiny little red dots, then you get a little collection of fluid, you get a little blister in the vesicle. And with chickenpox, it's everywhere, including in the mouth, which can interfere with fluid intake. And fluid intake is one of the things to watch out for. With the shingles rash, it's restricted to one segment. But when the rash is moist, when the blisters are moist or wet, they're particularly infectious. And then when they become dry and crusted, they cease to be infectious.
Well, can a child infect an adult? So can a child with chickenpox give an adult shingles?
In theory, they can, but we would understand the extent to which that happens is very, very small, because by the time most people get to be adults in a society like ours, they've already had chickenpox, and therefore, if you like, they have the seeds, if you like, shingles in their system.
Okay, let's talk to the poor parents who might very well be dealing with this right now, or who might have to deal with it next week. What is the best thing they can do to manage it?
Well, most parents are absolutely brilliant at this. So it's like any real viral illness. So your child becomes unwell, a little bit irritable, a little bit off, maybe slightly less appetite, maybe a little bit tired. And the vigilant parent is already understanding that there's something brewing. So it is a question of waiting for a little while, going back over the history over the last 2 or 3 days. Who were they in contact with? Ah, there's chicken pox in the creche. Right, now we're getting a feel for it. We may get the coryzal symptoms. We might get a low grade or sometimes a high temperature. Then we get the small red spot. And all of that tends to unfold over 2 or 3 days. And usually by the end of 2 or 3 days, it's reasonably clear. And then we start getting vesicles and blisters, and then we know exactly what this is. So the principles are the same for most of the viral illnesses. So whether it's this, whether it's even measles, whether it's a regular flu or a cold or a gastroenteritis, the key things are regular paracetamol and monitor fluids. And it's very helpful for us in practice when we're trying to figure out whether a child is seriously sick or not, what the fluid intake is. A lot of parents will be able to tell us to the ounce or to the 100 mils in the previous 24 hours. So if your child is responding reasonably well in terms of temperature and comfort to paracetamol, and if they've got a fluid intake that's reasonably good, that's at least half the usual amount over 24 hours, then it's usual to manage it on a day-by-day basis. You can't go too far wrong.
If you've other kids in the house, do you just let it run through and kind of try to get them all at the same time? Because, I know it can go on for a period, but is it better to do that than wait for them to get infected somewhere else?
Again, it's another one of those things that people love to speculate on. But what's important to understand is that most children with chickenpox will be infectious and asymptomatic for 2 or 3 days. So by the time it's obviously chickenpox, the first child will have still been in contact with the other children, and it's actually very difficult in practical terms to separate it all out. I wouldn't go so far as to say that you should have a chickenpox party. I think that just sounds daft, really.
It does. Deliberately infecting children is a bad idea. I think we can.
Oh, We're not having that on News Talk or anywhere else, please. Yeah.
No, thank you. Lots of people are asking, should they get vaccinated? And there's one question on the screen here, is how much does it cost? I mean, I know you're not a pharmacist, nor are you responsible for the pricing, but is there a broad guideline as to how much it costs if you have to get it done privately?
Well look, like all good profs, I Googled it before I came on and it said 90 euros.
Okay.
So, but again, the question for us as a society is whether we should go ahead and have this as a public health measure. And on one hand, our children are immunized against a very large number of diseases. But that's an amazingly successful program. Previous generation doctors in this country would have seen people die with diphtheria, with cases of tetanus. We never see that anymore. So immunization is incredibly useful. The National Immunization Committee do look at this periodically. The volume of evidence around the vaccine is getting better and stronger all the time. So it is certainly something for us to consider. But in the households that are thrown into chaos by this, it's the regular drill, fluid intake, regular paracetamol, use of an antihistamine if the itch is a problem. And again, that's a good conversation to have with your pharmacist. These are all the things that make it easier. The key things to watch out for is if there's a lot of oral involvement and if the child can't drink, or sometimes the rash gets a secondary bacterial infection and the child can get quite sick, that usually responds very well to antibiotics. So do be in touch with the practice, especially if the fluid intake is falling or if your gut instinct tells you that there's something significant going on here. It's important to have the conversation at that point.
Right. We leave it there. Dr. Brendan O'Shea, GP, Adjunct Professor, Assistant Adjunct Professor at Trinity College Dublin and Medical Director at KDOC. Thank you very much for joining us. Just one more text on this. My daughter says this listener had chickenpox during her leaving certs, the poor child. It was horrendous and she was so sick she had to be admitted to A&E. My advice, says that person, is get your children vaccinated.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.